Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
I don't know about you, but this morning I just felt that we had a really sweet time in worship. It was really good. I felt like God's starting to, you know, pour himself out more and more in this space. Even as we celebrate church on a low Sunday, Labor Day weekend, people joining from home, wherever you are, God is on the move. And that excites me. And it excites me that God's going to use us to do what he needs to do on this earth. Not that he could do it without, not that he couldn't do it without us, but that he chooses us to be a part of his plan. So I'm super excited. Just a couple of announcements before we jump into this morning. We've got a special morning for everybody here and for those of you online. This morning, we are going to be welcoming our brother from this church, Clayton. But we'll get to you now, Clayton. So just stay in your seat. I know, hold on. You've been preparing hard. And we're going to receive a good word from him. But just a couple of preliminary things. COVID rules for the venue have been updated. We obviously were trying to create a space where everybody that visits us or comes to this church feels comfortable moving around here. And so can I ask you, when moving around the venue, please put your mask on. When coming into the venue, please put your mask on. When you get situated in the venue, at your seat, or where you're going to worship the Lord, whether you're standing or sitting, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to take your mask off. But everything else, just keep it on until things change again. We know we live in a fluid environment, and we're not sure what's going to happen, but we want to honor everybody in this church because we love every single person in this church. This week is the NCMR training time. You saw the video. If you're online or here in person and haven't registered yet, I would encourage you to do so. If you can't make the Friday sessions, three sessions in the day because of work, join us on Thursday night or join us on Friday night. Or you can even register online. But we need to get those registrations in this week. There are a few spots for in-person gatherings still available. And so if you know somebody, if you have a friend who's a believer who wants to be encouraged or who you know needs encouragement, please invite them along. Get them to register. It's going to be a really awesome time. There's no prayer meeting tomorrow, just as a reminder, because of Labor Day. And then, Clayton, you can start making your way up here so I can introduce you. This summer, we have been going through a process of, you know, just getting our deacons and people that are in this church who feel led or called to preach with us. This is Labor Day, so officially, I'm still trying to understand how these American holidays work. But I think summer holidays are coming to an end now, right? So Clayton gets to close off this summer season with a preach that the Lord's laid on his heart. So we're excited to hear from Clayton. We have some visitors that have come all the way from Houston to hear you, Clayton, and from Ohio. So, listen, you're bringing in the numbers. So, Clayton, I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to let you take it away. Father, I thank you for this mighty man of God. I thank you for this wonderful privilege to hear what you've laid on his heart for us as a church. We thank you for the priesthood of all believers, that every single person in this room has the capacity to speak your word, Lord, to encourage people with, you know, your truths. And so I pray today that you'd fill Clayton, Holy Spirit, from the top of his head to the tips of his toes and prepare our hearts to receive a word that's in season and perfectly suited for what we need to hear. I pray this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Marco. Okay, good. Well, good morning, Hope Rock Church and everyone online. I appreciate you guys being here. And visitors, welcome. I hope you feel welcome. I'm happy that you're here. Get a chance to meet you after this, but thanks for being here. As Marco said, my name is Clayton McWhite, and I am honored today to have been invited to share a message with you that the Lord has put on my heart. Over the past month, we've been going through a series of messages called Kingdom Values, and those kingdom values are things that our church has wanted to bring up our focus and our emphasis on to make much of. So we've been looking at such topics as being rich towards God through giving and through sacrificial living and giving glory to God. And today I have the privilege of bringing drawing our attention to prayer as a kingdom value. It's a foundational kingdom value. And so I want to talk today on just the simplicity of prayer, the importance of prayer, and the necessity of prayer. You know, prayer can be an intimidating topic to teach on. As some form of the word prayer is used over 500 times in the Bible. And even besides that, there's hundreds of examples of people actually praying where the word prayer isn't even mentioned. So there's many examples in the Bible. I did a quick Amazon search on prayer, and man, over 40,000 books came up. 40,000, returns on, titles on books. Man, mind blown. And granted, you know, many of those titles are, you know, secular titles that don't even have anything to do with prayer, but just like as a person wanting to learn more about prayer and instill prayer into your life, like where do you even start with that? Where do we even start with prayer, especially when we're looking at sources external to the Bible? You know, some of the crazier titles I found when I was looking at the Amazon search, there's books on prayer about everything that you can imagine. I found books on praying to pass academic and vocational examinations, praying for money, praying to win, praying for athletes, for ministers, for frontline workers, for your neighbor, for your mom, for your husband's attitude, bestseller. So I even found an official Catholic prayer on how to pray for your sick animal, how to pray for your sick pet, official. And so, you know, not to discount that these things aren't important to our Lord. Like, God cares about all of those things in our life, you know? But you can quickly see how it's easy to get lost in the weeds when trying to research on that sort of thing, and especially approaching it from not starting with the Bible. So, but a thing that strikes me whenever I see the numbers of times prayer mentioned in the Bible and just the return on search on the internet, like just the sheer volume of that shows me that people are interested in prayer. Like as created beings, like we're interested in, you know, how do we relate to a creator? Prayer in its simplest form is a communication. You know, it's a message from a created being to a creator, the very representation of a longing that we have to connect with, you know, who's created us. But, you know, who should pray and what should we pray and how and where and when should we pray? You know, those are a lot of different questions. And perhaps some of those questions are what was on the disciples' minds whenever they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And, you know, why did they ask him that in Luke chapter 11? Lord, teach us to pray. You know, I couldn't find any other example in the Bible where the disciples said, Lord, teach us to worship. Or, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to heal the sick. Or, Lord, teach us to study the scriptures. No, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. I think it's because they, you know, have at this point, having spent years with Jesus, day in and day out for years at this point, they recognized that prayer was instrumental in Jesus's ministry. And it was through Jesus's prayer life that he was able to preach, that he was able to heal the sick, that he was able to do all these things. And it stemmed from his prayer life. And Jesus had certain places that he went to pray. He had these special places that were just for him and the Lord to meet. He had, you know, the disciples recognized that Jesus rose up early in the morning to seek the Lord. And so they certainly recognize by this point, man, it's because of his prayer. It's because prayer, you know, is really the secret sauce to Christianity. It's a secret sauce to us connecting with the Father. It's through prayer. And so, again, not to discount that studying the scriptures and preaching and healing are all, you know, not less than to God, but just highlighting the focus that the disciples recognize that prayer is one of the kingdom values that we should adopt. So how did Jesus respond whenever they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray? What did he say? So let's take a look at Luke chapter 11, and I think that you'll be familiar with this. Okay, Jesus said, as it came to pass, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, Jesus said, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you follow our church on Facebook, you would have seen this week that our church posted a quote by Charles Spurgeon earlier in the week, and it said, short prayers are long enough. And Charles Spurgeon went on to say with that quote, not length, but strength is desirable. Amen. Which is exactly what we see in this prayer, a mere but 60-ish words in this prayer. Now, I might have expected Jesus to, when he was asked by the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, he might have been giving them a lengthy conversation, like one of those book searches that I came up with, you know? But he didn't. He gave him a prayer that's powerful, concise, short, but powerful. Man, and considering that this week, that really frees me up because I think that I have the tendency to think, man, I only prayed for 5 minutes today? I must be a spiritual weakling. Or 30 seconds? Why even talk to God 30 seconds, you know? And it's the enemy that wants us to think those things, you know? It's those thoughts, and it's the thinking that we have to pray longer. We have to really be on our knees and seek the Lord for a long time. Like, we have to fill our lives with prayer and stuff. We think that leads us into more praying, but in fact, you know, the more technical we get to it, that it eventually leads us into not praying at all. So this really frees me up. And I don't want to discount that there is great value in those periods of time, those desert seasons where we seek the Lord for a long time, you know, seeking his face. But, you know, it's when we have a couple minutes that we can say this short prayer. And when I'm in a car coming home from work and I don't know what to expect when I come into the house, or when I'm going into a meeting and I only have 30 seconds, like, I can pray this prayer with a sincere heart towards the Lord. And suddenly, like, I feel closer to him, ready to handle whatever might come up. And, you know, I believed for a long time that when Jesus gave this prayer to the disciples, that this was just a model, you know, just an example to pray. You know, don't actually say this word for word, but here's an example. Here's a model to pray. But I think my perspective on my mind has been changing on that recently, and especially in the last week or weeks as I've been preparing for this. I find it very interesting that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, when he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, he gives this same exact prayer, nearly word for word. And that was perhaps 2 years before the disciples asked him. I would have thought that in Jesus' ministry, maybe he would have said, okay, this prayer was earlier in my ministry, and now you've come along, so here's a different prayer to pray. Or this is a prayer for the masses, but you, my special intimate disciples, this is the prayer for you to pray. So I see a couple of things that draw my attention to why Jesus gave this same prayer at the Sermon on the Mount. And then 2 years later, when asked again, he gave almost word for word the same exact prayer. I want to take a look real quick at the prayer that he gave at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, and where Jesus was saying to the masses, he says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, perhaps some of you, because of a certain background with this prayer, might be thinking, now, didn't Jesus say not to pray this with vain repetitions? Well, you're exactly right. You know, just before this, and just the very verse before this, Jesus says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely because by repeating their words again and again. See, Jesus isn't instructing us to just repeat this prayer as though it were a prescription to atone for wrongdoing. So clearly it's not that these words in themselves, but rather the posture of our hearts towards God when we pray them. You know, and so with our time together, I want to look through this prayer together and contemplate a couple of things with it. I forgot to pray when I got up here, but maybe, okay, Marco prayed for us. All right. First, I want to look at Our Father. Our Father, Father, you know, when Jesus was praying this, Father in Aramaic, it stands for Abba, which means Papa. Literally, it means nourisher, protector, upholder. People hearing Jesus address God as Abba, as Papa, they would have been shocked to hear him say that, because previous to this in the Old Testament, when people prayed, they prayed Adonai, which means emphasizing the Lord with absolute authority, or Elohim, emphasizing power and sovereignty as God as a creator, or Yahweh, the approximation of God's name that was too holy even to utter. So they addressed God as a far reach, you know, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh. They couldn't get close to him. And when they heard Jesus, you know, preach Papa, nourisher one, accessible one, protector, you know, they would have blown their minds. So what happened here? Did God suddenly change from Yahweh, from Elohim to Adonai? No. See, God didn't change. We changed. Okay? Imagine if I walked into Marco's house tonight and I said, "Hey, Dad, what's for dinner?" You know, that would be totally inappropriate, right? For me to come in. Now, I don't think Marco would turn me away because he likes me, but, you know, that would be weird. And so, you know, that me addressing him as Dad and going into his house, that would just be inappropriate. Now, if his son Dino tonight said, "Hey, Dad, what's cooking?" Well, that would be totally appropriate. Why? Because even though Marco is a father, the relationship is different, you see. The relationship that Dino's children have to Dino is what allows for intimacy. Amen. And intimacy is what allows for the relationship. So it's not God who has changed from Adonai, Yahweh, Elohim. He is still all those things, and he's Papa for those who have been called to call him Father. And so we can approach God as Jesus taught us to, as Abba, Father. Now, in Romans 8:15, it says, "So, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." So when did this happen? When did God adopt us as his children? He adopted us when we, by placing our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what Jesus did on the cross, living a perfect life and then taking our place and dying for our sins in our place, believing on this is the signature on our adoption papers. And that is what allows us to address the creator of the universe as Papa, nourisher, protector. Okay. Our Father. Whose Father is it? Well, it's Hope Rock Church's Father. It's River in the Hills Church's Father. It's the Baptist's Father. It's the Protestant's Father. It's anyone who has been adopted into God's family. He is your Father. Amen. And we can approach him like that. You know, even throughout history, anyone who has called themselves a son or daughter of God can approach God. And we are in good company, friends, when we pray this prayer. You see, I may not be able to play the guitar like Micah or preach like Marco or lead international missions trips like our NCMI friends, but whenever I pray this prayer with a heart that is sincere towards God, suddenly I join the company of Augustine, Luther, Charles Spurgeon, amen, the disciples. You know, we are in community with this prayer, and it is our Father that we can come to through that. Praise the Lord for that. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, there's a relationship, but there's also a reverence here. We can approach him as Papa, but he is still Almighty God. Amen. And in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, it says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Let your words be few, remembering who you are and who he is. Now, sometimes my son will come to me and he'll be going on and on. Pokemon this and Bakugan that. And we found 100 snails outside and my hands are muddy and we have these swords and stuff. And it's, which is great, you know. I love that my son comes to me and shares his thoughts with me. The Father loves that we come to him and, you know, share our day and our thoughts with him. But I found that the meaty prayers, the significant, weighty ones, literally the life-changing prayers, happen when I come to the Father in humility, when I talk less and listen more. You know, he is our Papa, he is our Father, but he is also worthy of reverence and humility. We should approach him with humility and reverence because he is the Creator. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, you know, that is it's an old, antiquated word. It's a word that we've lost in our vocabulary because we've lost it in our lives. It means to make holy, to set apart, other than, you know, and God is exactly right. Like, our time with him and our lives should represent other than. We should look different, think different, smell different than the world. And because our Father is holy and set apart, thy name, hallowed be thy name, be thy name, Lord. We know in the Bible that a person's name speaks of their character. names are very important in the Bible, and a study on the names of God would be one of a great study. God shows us some of his character through his names. Names in the Bible like Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. El Roy, the God who sees me. I personally believe that because God is infinite, I think his names must be infinite, right? And there's no way in our limited ability to comprehend the infiniteness of God. But I like what I see in Revelations 19:16. It's at the end when Jesus comes and it says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, in a nutshell, that sums it up, right? No one is more greater. No one is more worthy. No one is more just. No one is more righteous than King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, there's only two sides of the fence on this one. There's people who believe, like the psalmist believes, who David expressed, be still and know that I am God. And there's others who will say, be still and know that I am me. You see, we have a choice to make. God is incredibly fair, isn't he? If you want nothing to do with God, fine. He will let you have your way all the way until the end of your life when you'll see how that turns out. But God will not force himself on anyone, but instead, like a loving and approachable father, he is there. He is there ready to accept you into his arms. And on the other side of this too, like God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, this isn't speaking of God as out there, unattainable. We just saw that there is relationship, but it just shows that, like, we are so small compared to God. You know, I think sometimes that we approach God with the way we pray, we really cut ourselves short sometimes. You know, my wife was away last weekend and I had the kids just on my own. And sometimes when I have the kids on my own, the rules change a little bit at our house. And so my five-year-old son, Gideon, he comes to me and he's like, Daddy, Abba, Daddy, can I have a jelly bean? Okay, son, I guess so. I was ready to give you this whole bag of jelly beans, but if you're happy with just one, sure, you can have just one. Don't we do that same thing to God? We ask God, God, give me one jelly bean. I'll be happy. Just one, Lord's all I need, you know, when really God has so much more for us. He has more for us emotionally, spiritually, relationally, physically. Like God wants to pour out his blessing on us, and we cut ourselves short because we pray, this is what I want, instead of, God, your will on my life, Lord. And even remember whenever, not that we should bring up our cares and our concerns and our specific requests to God, but remember how Jesus prayed, God, take this cup from me. Father, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Can't we approach the same way? Pray God's will into our lives. You know, the outcome, it may not be what you're expecting, but we can trust that our Father has what's good for us in mind. His way is best for us, and we can trust that. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the us in here, and in fact, throughout the whole prayer, us. You know, what a great example of intercessory and corporate prayer I see in this term, us. Give us, lead us, forgive us, instead of just me. I can take this verse, give us this daily bread, and at home when I'm feeling like I don't have enough patience to, you know, help my family, I can say, God, give us patience, knowing that we're all here in the same situation in this earth with human flesh, you know. What else? Let's see. Lord, give us strength when I don't feel like getting up or when I don't feel like sharing my testimony to people. Like, this is a beautiful thing that unites us in prayer. It's corporate and it's intercessory, Lord. Give us. What a joy it is to lift each other up in prayer. Please pray for me. Day by day, daily, give us this day our daily bread. You know, why can't we ask God, give us this bread this year. Lord, give us our yearly bread, you know, or Lord, give us our needs this quarter. You know, why can't we just blanket over it? So why give us this day our daily? We have to ask him every day for bread. So, you know, it's funny, but, you know, God knows our needs. And our needs is not that which we're praying for, but our needs is prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus says he is the bread of life. And he knows that us in just prayer, that's what we need more than what we're praying for. John chapter 6 says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life that we need every day. You know, if the Lord gave us our needs once a month, then I don't think we would pray very often. And it's not because God needs our prayers either. It's because we need him.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, what's next? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wait. Okay, so you think that, maybe I like the give us this day our daily bread. You know, forgive me, that's fine. Even that God is a father and an approachable, but forgive others, forgive our debtors. Like, that can be really hard, you know? It can be hard to forgive others, you know? Not sure I can get behind that, but that's what you might be thinking. That's what I think sometimes. But Mark 11, 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Forgive others before we can pray. That can be really hard, especially if it's someone who has for real wronged you. You know, I'm not talking about just the person at HEB who parks over the line and then you have to walk in 110 degrees Austin weather a little bit farther and it gets posted on Facebook. Or there's even a Facebook page here locally, Lakeway Gripes and Grins. And, you know, if the people offend you on that, I'm not talking about these people who offend you. Father, forgive them too. But I'm talking about people who for real wronged you, you know, maybe the parent who wasn't there when you needed them to be. Maybe the business partner who made a bad decision and ruined the company. Maybe the spouse who took part of your soul when they left. You know, these are exactly the people who Jesus had in mind whenever he said, forgive them. You know, why? Why is forgiveness so important to God that he says he will distance himself from us if we don't forgive? Forgiveness is so important to God because in order for him to forgive us, it cost him everything. He sent his son for us to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to take on our sins. It cost God everything to forgive us. And in light of that, we can forgive those who have wronged us most. But only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we forgive, can we truly and completely forgive. So, okay, you're listening to me and you're thinking, okay, I hear what you're saying. God has given us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to forgive. But how? How does this happen? How does this actually happen? I'll tell you, it happens through prayer. It happens through prayer. The quickest way to get to that place where you can completely and forgive somebody is through prayer. Lift that person up to the Lord. Pray for blessing in their lives. Pray for God's favor in their lives. Pray for healing in their lives. Lift that person up and then something happens. Something happens kind of mystically, kind of supernaturally, unexplainably, that as you lift that person up in prayer, as you are expressing it, then you start experiencing it. Wow. There's an exchange that happens even in this prayer. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Just in that simple phrase, as you are expressing it, God begins to give you experiencing that in your heart. Wow. So lift each other up in prayer. Forgive people. They, you know, God wants us to forgive others. It's such an essential component of effective prayer. Forgiveness of our sins and forgive us of others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, temptation here is not mean a drawing into sin. It's not being tempted to sin, but rather it stands for a testing, a proving, just as God tested Abraham with Isaac and just as Satan tested Jesus in the wilderness. And why is it here? Why is this verse in here? It's to create again that spirit and that attitude of humility. you know, for testing, who among us would say, "Test me, Lord. I'm here. I'm ready. I am spiritually strong. Send it my way." You see, we wouldn't say that because, you know, in James chapter 4, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humility is the right attitude to have in praying to God, where pride is not at all appropriate for him. And the beautiful thing here, when we pray about, "Lead us not into temptation, don't test us, Lord, please deliver us from evil," the beautiful thing about this is that should testing come, we can embrace it joyfully, having known that it is the will of the Lord, because we've prayed for him to spare us from it. You know, so we have prayed for the testing not to come. We've prayed for the will of the Lord in our lives. We see that testing comes into our lives, and then we can embrace it with a joyful spirit, knowing that it is God's will for us, and his will is better than our will. Amen. Also, Satan is real, friends, and he would love to destroy you. He would love to tear apart your life. So deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us from the evil one. Finally, the last part of this prayer is recognition of who God is. Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Lord, yours is the kingship, the dunamis, the power, the glory, the doxa, the weightiness. Guys, we live in a culture that is bored and depressed. And in effort to satisfy our boredom and depression, we keep on coming up with more and more stuff to occupy ourselves. You know, it's a never-ending cycle of boredom and dissatisfaction. YouTube, Facebook, Netflix, TikTok, it goes on and on. And I'm not preaching against those things necessarily, but when our purpose in life is to fill self, we become bored and we become depressed. And how do we get beyond this? You know, we have to look outside of self. We look to God, and in light of who he is, Abba, Father, Nourisher, Protector, our only response to that can be glory, glory, glory. I like the extended version of this that I found in 1 Chronicles 29:11. It's David speaking after they've built the temple, and he says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted above it all." You know, there is in heaven, the four living creatures that are bowing down before the glory of God because they can glimpse it in real person, like firsthand. And all that they can say is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Great is he and greatly to be praised." And when we look outside of selves and we see who God is, we recognize who he is through this prayer, then we can say, "Glory, Lord, I recognize you." You know, that's the prayer. That's a simple prayer of 60 words that we can integrate into our daily lives. We can take this, you know, position our hearts towards God, and with a sincere heart, we can pray this to the Lord. You know, a couple of final thoughts here. First, I hope that this is encouraging to you. I can no longer have to be, you know, under the constraint of I have to pray for a certain amount of time. This frees me up to approach God with a simple, short, concise prayer, and I can experience him and express that to him. You know, our adoptions as sons and daughters, it starts with a prayer. You know, just a simple and powerful prayer just like this. You might be saying, "Well, I don't have that relationship with God as you described. I can't call him Father. I don't feel like I can call him Abba. That's nothing that I can do." Well, you need to, friends. You need to be able to call him Father. Jesus, God wants to adopt you into his family today. And all it takes is faith. It's just a simple faith. Faith that Jesus is who he said he is and that he did what he said he did. You know, maybe you've been searching for something these last several months. You've felt the weight of boredom and depression grow in your heart and in your lives over this time where we've been having isolation and you know, separation from people. God says, Jesus says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." When you have the Spirit of King of Kings and Lord of Lords living in your heart, you're never alone. You're never isolated. He is there with you. I want to provide this as an opportunity for you, whether in person or in tuning in online. If you've heard what I've said today and you want to call God Father, Abba, Please, will you pray this prayer with me? I invite you to be part of God's family. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I ask for you to forgive my sins. I invite you to be the Lord of my life and the King of my heart, God. From this point forward, I will follow you and I'll give you rule over my life. I trust you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. There it is. If you prayed that prayer, I welcome you to God's family and I'll be available here. Any of us can be available to pray with you. If you're online and you have a specific prayer, please send the church a website. We are longing and hungering for God to move in this place. We want to see his prayers answered. If you want to have more of corporate prayer, we meet regularly here on Mondays at like 6. We meet out here, and it's also on the Zoom meeting, so we would love to have you here corporately.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.